Thank you so much for asking me to come and join you. For me, it's this evening, and for you, morning. Well, everyone all over the world, what a privilege it is to be here. I'm Becca. I'm a recovering anorexic, bulimic, compulsive overeater. And I'd like to really start, if I may, with a prayer, my favourite prayer. And truthfully, I couldn't think of anything more nourishing to give you as my little gift. And as I give it to you, it nourishes my soul. The text of this prayer is about transformation, the movement away from darkness to light, from despair to hope, where negatives become positives through the transformative work of God. Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your healing power. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Lord, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Lord, make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. Amen. Thank you. Now from the sublime to the ridiculous, please excuse my language. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to use bad language, and I've spent most of my life just thinking, what the fuck is wrong with me? So I just had to say that that was my internal dialogue that went along for most of my life. Truthfully, as I get deeper into my recovery, I learn so much more about who I am, what I'm really like on the inside. And truthfully, I came into these rooms absolutely brokenhearted. And so the difference now is that my heart is in recovery. And I absolutely love that that little emoji for recovery is a heart with a bandage on it, because that's what it's like for me. But it's taken quite a long time for me to recover, and a long time for me to trust. And I'm keeping peace with my own soul, because I have spent most of my life being, irritable and discontent. And this program, this beautiful, kind, gentle, loving program, has taught me to have faith in myself, faith in other people, faith in OA and the process, faith in what will come next, faith that God will not give me more than I can cope with. And it's replaced my desperate isolation, my hopelessness, my utter feelings of shame about who I am, and the secret version of me that I felt I should hide from everyone. Truth is, I went on a yoga retreat for the first time in the autumn of last year, and I have never had so much time to myself. I thought I'd be really lonely. I'm a busy working mum of three, and I went on my own, didn't know anyone. And I was worried I'd be lonely or miss the kids or feel guilty, all the feelings that I was so familiar with. But truthfully, I saw who I was on the inside, and I can only describe it as wholesome. And that is a relief, because I've woken up most mornings with the most awful feeling of utter shame. And I didn't know that that was the feeling until I went into therapy, outpatient patients therapy, when I hit my rock bottom about 4 years ago. And now the first person I talk to in the morning is God, and I do it without even thinking now I need to talk to God. It's just is. I wake up, and mostly it's gratitudes for waking up and hearing the birds and precious moments of reflection of what I can now see. And the reason why I said, "What the fuck is wrong with me?" is because I got to the place in my life where I'd got a good job and a steady income. I'd got three beautiful children. I got a home, a beautiful home. And I couldn't see it. I just couldn't see it. And my background is that on the surface it looked like a very normal family, but you know, what is that? My mum is a narcissist, and my dad lost his own mum when he was about four and was a very angry man. And yet I knew a deep, deep love from him. I was bullied at school in regard to sort of, well, anything but my heritage. I was mixed race. My dad was an angry Jewish atheist. And my mum, a Christian for some sort of Sunday school respite, I think, on Sundays. And so I didn't really, I believed in God, but I had no idea what that meant, or how I could hand over, or how I could be guided, or how I could be loved. My mum had a couple of breakdowns, and I stepped up. And I'm the eldest of three, and I stepped up, and I was a good girl. But then my dad died 3 weeks before the UK lockdown, and we buried him on the Friday. He died of a heart attack, completely out of the blue. We buried him on the Friday. We came home at the weekend. And the whole country went into lockdown, and we shut down our business on the Monday. And I'd never felt a loneliness like I felt for months after that. We'd got the kids, we were doing home learning, we've got three young children, we were doing homeschooling. So it was loneliness in a busy home. And I felt lonely because I realized I loved my dad so much that when he died, I really didn't know what there was to look forward to anymore, because I just loved sharing my kids growing up with him. He was very loving, despite being very angry when we were very young, and I suppose uncontrollable a little bit, as tiny children can be. But I now see that as his fears. But he was also incredibly loving. And now, with the hindsight that my therapy has given me, I see that I made him my higher power. And then when he died, I lost that. So I went into a bit of a dark place. And I remember watching telly one evening, and it was about a girl self-harming. And the therapist was asking this girl the questions that I just had complete clarity with, that I absolutely needed to be asked, because I couldn't understand why I was, on the face of it, an intelligent woman, and so my exam marks would tell you, and so the dean of the university would tell you, but I couldn't understand my eating. I absolutely couldn't understand why I couldn't control it. I just yo-yoed. I absolutely yo-yoed for years and years. And it baffled me. It really did. I had no idea what was going on, which is why I was so confused. I then found this therapist, Luckily, she was in the UK, and because of the pandemic, it was all online. And had it not been for all of those things, I would have never got into recovery, and I don't think I'd have ever found these rooms. I don't know, who knows? But Dad dying and the pandemic made it all online and made it all so accessible for me. And meet her I did online, and she did ask me all those questions. And just like that, I told her my answers. And
10 minutes.
thank you so much. So I walked into the rooms and I tried to put any judgment I had aside of needing to find the perfect sponsor who looked like me and sounded like me and had a job like me and all of that absolute rubbish I put aside and just trusted in the big book, which was find someone who has what you want. And I found an older lady who had 40 years abstinence, and I thought, that's what I want. That is it. Well, that's all I want. That's all I need. Surely that's it. And it was right. And my goodness me, I had faith in her. She taught me to have faith in my higher power and faith in myself. I remember we got to step four, and my mind went completely blank because well, I don't have any resents about anyone. I try so hard to please everyone all the time. And then I can't remember what the trigger was, but then I realized that anyone I connected with on any social media platform, I resented. And so it just flowed. Then once I was in it, I was like, and another thing, and another thing, and another thing. And so it went. And sharing my step five with her and not see her hang up or do what my mum had done, which was put her hands over her ears and say, make it stop, when I was talking about tricky things at school or whatever when I was a little girl, was a game changer for me. She just gave me space. Yeah. What a gift. What a gift she gave me. That I could say it out loud. And as I did, the shame tumbled away. All the things that I now have my sponsees share, I'm privileged to guide others through that process and all the things that my sponsees share with me. And then we just turn a totally different light on it. And yeah, it's a beautiful process. I did struggle with the concept of God, and I felt sort of shy on the inside about talking about God. I think because I was so confused myself. And then I had another pivotal moment in my recovery. I was driving up one of the motorways in the UK, and I was doing 88 miles an hour, which is 18 miles over the speed limit. I was also on my phone. I would be far too ashamed of what I've just told you to tell you pre-recovery, but I'm trusting that you'll accept me, warts and all. And then I saw flashing lights in my back window, and the police pulled me over. And I think I was step eight. I was step nine coming up. I was struggling with step nine, and he pulled me over and he said, I'd love to give you a ticket, but I can't. You're going to have to go to court because you're doing two offences, driving whilst you're on a phone and massively over the speed limit. And I just broke down. I wept and I wept and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so ashamed of myself. And I can't believe I put others in danger. I've been so reckless. And that man saw something in me that day. He sat in the back of my car with me, and for an hour he talked to me about PTSD and saw it and saw everything, absolutely. And at the end of that hour, because I said, I know you're all so busy and there's not enough resources, and I accept, everything you need to give me, absolutely, but you've spent so long with me. And he just said, we need people in the world like you. And in that moment, I felt loved. Not romantic love. Oh, sorry, not sorry. Here I am. Not romantic love, but a love that topped up that huge hole where I wish I felt a mother's love, and where my mom couldn't love me. And I came home and I just knew then that higher power had me. I was meant to do all those things. It was all meant to happen, and I was meant to learn. And it changed in me a massive fear I have about telling truths like this and go, okay, this shitty thing's happening now. God, what are you trying to teach me? What, God, what would you have me learn from this? Because this is beginning to hurt. And so to turn the hurt away so that I can stay sane rather than the insane running hurt, wounded response I would have to just life challenges. I turn it around. I say, if I can only say one word to myself, I just say curious, as in be curious, Beck. Be curious about what God is having you learn next. And it really helps. My life in recovery looks so different. When I have a busy head, and I've heard people describe it as washing machine head, and everything's tumbling around and tumbling around, I outreach, I pray, I pause, I remember who I am, that when I had time and peace and quiet in in yoga, I am wholesome on the inside and I'm just hurting. And then it just quickly passes. And sharing it with another fellow who doesn't recoil or put her hands or his hands over his ears. I just quickly feel the pain, acknowledge the pain, breathe and move on through. And this year has been a particularly tricky year. Lots and lots of challenges with my children, but I've been taught a different way of leading life and a different way of showing up in the world. And I feel very blessed. I did a yoga retreat today. I've done yoga and meditation and a beautiful walk to a river where we threw in little sunflower seeds of life, of hope, of promise. And it was nothing to do with OA or any of the big book or anything. It was just a yoga retreat. But my goodness me, how it just wove its beautiful golden threads through recovery, through 12 steps. And how grateful I was just to be able to show up there. Things like that I would never have been able to do, to go into a room full of people I didn't know and or dedicate myself to something that I didn't know anything about and therefore was really fearful of, but that would come through as judgment. So I guess grateful for being open-minded, and accepting the journey. And I absolutely love nature and forgive me for repeating something that someone once said to me, but when I'm thinking I might isolate and that would be a good idea, I remember this and I take my cue from nature. When you look up at the sky and you see birds in 2 minutes, did you say?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right, thank you. When you look up at the sky and you see migratory birds in formation, they're flying in a V. And I like science. And I love knowing that because they fly in a V, they can fly 75% further than if they flew on their own. And I remember that. And I think, so if those birds are smart enough to not isolate and make life really tough for themselves, come on, Beck, you can be smart enough to pick up the phone or send a voice note or whatever it is to remember to be in your OAV formation and all fly together and all get 75% further together. And I think that's probably all I've got to share with you, only to thank you all for being here and making this such a lovely home. And with that, I'll send you all my love and blessings, and thank you very much for your time.